D-Mace, Fingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. We will continue to take your reaction to June Lee's article in the New York Times about the state of American sports. I did want to pass along something that I stumbled across on my timeline. It's from SwissHockeyNews.ch. It's a story aggregated from an interview that Roman Josi did with Blick, B-L-I-C-K, which is a Swiss-German newspaper.
I wonder what that means in Swiss-German, Blick.
I don't know.
Is that like awesome or super cool, cutting edge?
I mean, I tell you what, the young kids tell you what it means.
On our show. Hey, that was
the young
Blick,
kid
man.
Says it means something else.
Hopefully, it's not a bad word. Did I just
no,
say
it's
a bad
not
word?
A bad word? No, it's just a firearm. It's a firearm. That's what they call a firearm.
So this SwissHockeyNews.ch aggregated this story about Roman Josi, how he has been dealing with something that, okay, I hope I pronounced this correctly, postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome.
Absolutely.
POTS. According to this aggregated article, the condition was discovered during a checkup in Denver. According to the Cleveland Clinic, POTS is a condition that causes a number of symptoms when you transition from lying down to standing up, such as a fast heart rate, dizziness, and fatigue. While there's no cure, several treatments and lifestyle changes can help manage the symptoms, of POTS. And according to this aggregated article, Josi's checkup in Denver revealed that his brain is fine. And we know that Roman Josi has an extensive history of concussions, including at the end of this past season. But that he is indeed suffering from POTS. He's quoted as saying, and this is maybe loosely translated, "Over the last 8 weeks, I have undergone intensive therapy, which also included taking beta blockers. I've been feeling much better since then. I've regained the belief that I'll be 100% fit again and can truly attack with Nashville and the Swiss national team next winter."
So it only happens when he's transitioning from laying down to getting up. That's when he feels the sort of effects.
And my wife is correcting me, thanks, honey, that it's just, I guess, called POTS and not POTS. P-O-T-S.
Yeah, you should have just said POTS, man.
Whatever.
You gave this whole long thing. I'm like, your wife's right, man. Adam, POTS, man. But it is serious.
I'm stroking my wife's ego.
Yeah, a friend of mine has it, and, you know, she's told me in the past, like, it has seriously crippled her, like, you know, where she couldn't do anything the whole day and she's had to go to the hospital. So that is, it can become serious. So you should have just said POTS, man.
Okay. Thank you, honey. I know you want me to.
This proves, though, that you listen to the show.
Yes.
We wonder if anything else that you said, we'll get back to it.
Absolutely.
Remember, according to my son, Derek is good and Willie is bad and Daddy is bad. So that's something to keep an eye on, I guess, with Roman Josi. He was named. So yesterday, I believe it was, all of the national teams participating in the Olympics unveiled the first six players on their preliminary Olympic roster. No surprise, Roman Josi, one of the six Swiss representatives. And we know how important Roman Josi is to the Nashville Predators. So this will be something to keep an eye on as the season approaches. But let's get back into a little bit more reaction from our previous discussion. Dylan is on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Dylan, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
Hey, yes, guys. I just wanted to get your, I guess, opinions on this. I know you guys don't talk about the UFC at all, but one of the cool things I think about UFC is that anybody can, like, watch it, and then they have pay-per-view fights for what are kind of like, could be compared to, like, the playoffs, you know, two high-ranking fighters, or their versions of, like, the Super Bowls where you pay-per-view for, like, you know, the who gets the belt. So do you think that, like, some of these sports teams should move to that, where the entirety of the regular season should be, you know, free to everybody and anybody, But say if you get to the playoffs, you can pay for, like, a package or something, because truthfully, you would really only pay if it's your team out there. And then if you're a casual fan, maybe you want to see, like, a really good matchup, you could pay for that, like the playoff games, because there's really not that many as, like, in the NFL as there is in, like, hockey, where it's the best out of seven or something like that. So do you think that kind of format would work? And I just want to hear your thoughts on that.
Thank you,
probably Dylan. Not. Because if you make it accessible and free to everybody, it doesn't fit the bottom line. The only reason, you know, these sports entities have gone the way of streaming, because they know it generates a bunch of money. It helps the bottom line, whether it, you know, doing a multi-billion-dollar deal with ESPN or Fox or anybody else. And then as you start to go down the line, it's doing million-dollar plus deals with Hulu and Amazon and stuff like that. So it sounds good. That's the way it used to be, Willie. You know, that's the way it used to be. You flick on a television, you can just watch anything. But now, because the bottom line is about money, that has gone, and it's never coming back, unfortunately.
And what's interesting just about buying a streaming service just to watch one thing,
mm-hmm.
I have mostly every streaming service known to man. A few months ago, I think it was back in January, this is not sports per se, it's sports entertainment, but WWE put its flagship show, Monday Night Raw, on Netflix. It's exclusive to Netflix in the United States. I didn't have Netflix, but I would buy Netflix so that I can watch Monday Night Raw. The reason I have Peacock is because WWE puts its pay-per-views, which are now termed premium live events, on Peacock. If you have Peacock, you can watch all of the monthly big shows. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason I have Peacock. Now, I'll watch some other shows on there on occasion, but I'm willing to pay for those streaming services for that one reason. But not everybody has the luxury to do that. By the way, Brian says Blick means look in German, and Scott says Blick means view or sight.
Ah, so we got it.
So now you learn something.
All right.
John from Nashville says, there are not many things more fun than cheering for your team, high-fiving people you don't know in a bar. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You're right. I mean,
I've seen full-on hugs. Remember the movie?
Like you walked in with the guy.
Remember the movie Major League where the Indians win it? Oh my God, the Indians win it! And the people, you know, the one guy with the hair that's all spiked up and like your new wavy or whatever hugs the guy who's got the hard hat. Like that's what happens. That's what it's all about.
One texter says, if games are hard to find or blacked out all the time, people aren't watching. For me, if I'm able to watch more games and feel more invested in a team, I would be more likely to find a game I want to go to and spend the ridiculous money. But I'm not spending money and time on a team that I can't even watch all season. Totally understand.
Well, again, I think a lot of it, is because, again, so many people are moving in and out of cities that, again, if I'm in Nashville, I can watch the Titans, but what if I move to, you know, up north? In Michigan, they ain't looking to show Titan games. They're Chicago or a northern team or an out west team. They're not going to show a Tennessee Titan team. And believe me, I know, because my family, they had to order one of the streams when I was playing. They had to make sure they had cable so they can watch the games. So it's hard to do. Because the fan base has expanded so much. So, you know, again, yeah, it would be nice if we all got to watch, you know, sporting events on regular channel. But, you know, those days are gone. And, you know, they understand that we can make more money because it's even to the point, like I said, you can't even go to games no more. You know, they priced you out of that. So the only other way you feel you can watch your team play is you have to get one of these streaming services.
I remember when I was in college, I went to school in Washington, D.C. It was easy for me to just take my student ID to what was then called Verizon Center, and I would get cheap tickets to Wizards games or Capitals games. Mm-hmm. And that's huge. it's huge for young fans to be able to afford to go to games. It's unfortunate that doesn't happen. Caleb on the text line says, "Don't lie, Adam. You and the wife binge Love Island on Peacock like the rest of us married couples." I can honestly tell you, I have never seen an episode of Love Island.
I tried to watch it. I tried to watch it and couldn't. I tried to.
Oh, God. Here's a good one.
Tried.
One texter. "Glad you guys are talking about this. Raising young kids here who I try to promote local teams with. Unfortunately, difficulty to watch games means the kids don't get to watch much. My son's main exposure to Titans is Jared Stillman rants."
Oh, Lord. I'm sorry. I'm
sorry. Congress, act now!
Mom!
Get off your bureaucratic butts and save these kids!
From Stillman, please.
It's about the kids.
Hopefully he's able to decipher between some of the stuff that Jared says. Not all of it, but some of it. You know, so
Viking Matt says, "I am shocked that grown men still watch WWE. Hey, it's still real to me, damn it."
Hey, WWE, listen, that may not be my cup of tea anymore, because I used to love it back in the day. And I'm not saying that, you know, back in the day was the greatest of wrestling times. But hey, if you like wrestling, it's another form of entertainment.
Let me tell you my favorite.
Enjoy it.
Let me tell you my favorite part about wrestling. It's new every single week.
Yeah.
If you have a favorite show, a prestige drama perhaps, you'll get 10 episodes. Then that show will disappear for 3 years while they're making a new one. Right?
Yep.
Wrestling, yeah. It's new every single week, multiple times a week. There's always something new to watch every week. I love that. 615-737-1025. Okay, I mentioned a report about the Predators that I read, then heard yesterday. We'll discuss that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Speaking of that phone number, I've been meaning to do this. We have tickets to give away. So be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025. Caller number 3. And you will win a pair of tickets to see Incubus next Wednesday, June 25th at Bridgestone Arena. Caller number 3, 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The game. D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025-1063. The game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. It's creeping up on us, although tonight could be the final game of the NHL season, Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final between the Edmonton Oilers and Florida Panthers. The NHL draft is a week and a half away. 1 week from Friday is the first round of the NHL draft. The Predators have the number 5 overall pick. They have 3 first-round picks as of now. And I've stumbled across a new account on X. You know how X is. They show you accounts that they think you might be interested in. And there is an aggregation account called NHL Rumor Report, spelled the Canadian way, R-U-M-O-U-R Report. And one of the posts was a transcript from James Myrtle. James Myrtle is a senior NHL writer for The Athletic, has been covering the NHL for a long time, worked for some national newspapers in Canada, the Globe and Mail, if I recall correctly, and was one of the first major hires of The Athletic when it launched several years ago. And James is on a Maple Leafs-centric podcast called The Leaf Report. And on this podcast, he and his co-host, I believe Jonas Siegel, were talking about players that, specifically centers, who the Toronto Maple Leafs could pursue in the summer. And if you'll recall, during the lead up to the trade deadline, there was a lot of speculation about Ryan O'Reilly. And could the Predators move on from Ryan O'Reilly?
We had a podcast about mm-hmm. this, did we not? The Predators Insiders.
We did. And by the way, we will have a special NHL draft / free agency edition of Preds Insiders next week. So look forward to that. But they were talking about Siegel and Myrtle. We're talking about Ryan O'Reilly. And then Myrtle said this, which I found to be quite interesting.
I would go back to, I put Ryan O'Reilly on there. I would try again there, see if like there's a change of heart, and then see if like there's anything you can do for Nashville. Like, but you're right. Like Nashville's kind of the same. Like they're trying to be good, quote unquote. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they see a realistic path to being good. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. They had just such a brutal year that might be one where they are ready to take a step back to try and be better 2 years from now or something like that.
So a quick clip, but according to Myrtle, who is plugged in?
Do you think he's plugged in to Nashville? I mean, he's a very good writer, but as you said, Leaf-centric. He is Toronto through and through. I always wonder, on a podcast like that, is he speaking just, hey, I'm riffing off the top of my head. I know the league. I watch the league. I'm knowledgeable. You could make that statement without having talked to anybody in Nashville to really bounce that off and say, am I right or am I wrong? You see what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
He may be right.
Yes.
But I don't know if it's because he's talked to somebody in Nashville who has told him, hey, man, we don't think we can be any good next year. So that's what I'm skeptical of.
I think he is well-sourced enough that he has spoken to someone. It may not be somebody within the Predators organization, but maybe it's somebody within another organization.
Did he talk to you?
Who has talked to the Predators.
He talked to you, who talked to somebody, who talked to Barry Trotz.
But this idea.
Or who listened to Barry Trotz talk to Jared Stillman. Did he talk to Stillman?
What's the line from Ferris Bueller? So-and-so talked to so-and-so. We saw him at, was it?
31 Flavors.
31
Ferris
Flavors.
Ferris passed out of 31 Flavors last night.
Yes.
That's it.
Perfect. But when I heard that about maybe they don't see a realistic path to being good and could be ready to take a step back, my first thought was, isn't it too late for that? That was my first thought. If the Predators wanted to do that, it should have already happened. And when I heard this, I went back and I found a story I wrote more than 3 years ago after the Predators were eliminated via sweep by the Colorado Avalanche in the first round with the headline, "The Predators won't get better until they allow themselves to get worse." And I was adamant that the Predators should take that step back. But even if the Predators wanted to do that, let's say that Myrtle is correct. Even if the Predators wanted to do that, I don't see how they can because of the contracts they've signed and the clauses attached to those contracts. We talked about Jonathan Marchessault. There's been a lot of rumors about Marchessault. Then Elliot Freeman reported a couple weeks ago that, contrary to what we believed, Marchessault has a full no movement clause. There are plenty of other important players on the Predators who have full no movement clauses. So even if the Predators truly don't see a realistic path to being good, to borrow Myrtle's words, I just don't see how they could possibly do it now based on the contracts they've signed. I feel like they're boxed in.
I don't think they're going to do it. I think they're going to do what Barry Trotz has said he wants to do. Now, whether they can do it or not, that's very much up for debate. It could go terribly wrong, right? I think the guys in the morning had their discussion on whether they think that could happen or not. Here's my experience of the James Myrtles and the Toronto-based media, okay? Everything comes back to the Leafs' perspective. How does this affect the Leafs? In fact, what's the Shayna Goldman's podcast with
Too Many Men?
It's a great podcast. They have a segment on there, which is hilarious. It's always like, take any random story, any hockey story, or even sometimes a non-hockey story, and say, how does this affect the Leafs? Because it's one of the big epicenters of hockey, right? And everything revolves around the Maple Leafs. So when you hear, hey, how do the Maple – the subject of that is not, hey, can the Predators be good next year? That's not the subject.
It's
the
can subject they get Ryan O'Reilly?
Exactly. How do we, the Maple Leafs, get Ryan O'Reilly out of Nashville and back in a Maple Leafs uniform? That is the motivation. So that's why I submit to you, he hasn't talked to anybody in Nashville.
This has
anybody.
Nothing to do with the Predators. Nothing
right.
whatsoever.
That Willie is right about how this affects the Leafs. Right. That is a running joke in the NHL
world.
Oh,
my goodness.
And look, the other thing that they never do in the Toronto-based world, right? They never tell you who they're going to trade for Ryan O'Reilly. Oh, yeah, let's get the Predators. I don't think they think they're going to be any good. Let's go just get Ryan O'Reilly. Well, who are you going to trade?
Nobody.
We're going to give you our spare parts and Jason Robertson's brother and a third-round pick and maybe a first-round pick in 2030. No. That's not how it works. Wow. So pump the brakes on specifically Ryan O'Reilly. But also, I think it's a very reasonable question. Can the Predators bounce back and do what they want to do, what they say they want to do? Or is it better to go ahead and make some, hedge your bets a little bit, play, you know, don't go all in to try to get better just for next year, right? These are all very reasonable questions. But I question his motives. I question the motives of Mr. Myrtle.
So Pierre LeBrun at The Athletic wrote this recently because free agency is 2 weeks from today, if my math is right, July 1st. He wrote this about the Predators. Quote, the Predators won't be setting off July 1st fireworks after two consecutive years of adding big names. They want to let their roster settle. They might make a subtle signing or two, but nothing too flashy. The Predators have several players entering the last year of their deals. Michael Bunting, Colton Sissons, Michael McCarron, Jeremy Lozon. So if they don't bounce back, they could sell at the March trade deadline. But otherwise, it's about keeping the path open for some of their top prospects, which Barry Trotz has talked about quite a bit.
And what does Pierre LeBrun routinely do? He talks to Barry Trotz.
He does.
Barry Trotz talks back to him, talks to Elliot Friedman. That is a very reasonable. And Barry Trotz has said that himself. You don't have to read Pierre LeBrun to say that. He has said they're not going to be active in free agency. He has said, I'd like to do something to the blue line. But if you think they're going to go out and sign another Marchessault kind of thing, he has said that's not going to happen.
And we'll see what happens with this Marchessault stuff. We haven't heard much lately. As we talked about a few weeks ago, I am uninterested, if I'm the Predators, in giving him away. If a team really wants him and is willing to give you something of value, you should do it. I just don't think you should give him away, despite the fact that he had a down season. He still had, 55, 60 points thereabouts? And we know that he's a good player. Now, there are questions about whether he fits the scheme, and he made those thoughts loud and clear at the end of the season.
Yes, he did.
So there is that question. But I just feel that the Predators, even if they wanted to do what Myrtle is saying there, let's just take him at his word right now. I don't think there is a realistic path for them to do what Myrtle is talking about. Just because of the contracts they've signed in recent years. And UC Soros, of course, in 2 weeks, his no movement clause will kick in and he'll have trade protection too. And, you know, the one thing that I have disagreed on about how Barry Trotz has described what he's been trying to do these past couple of years, the one term I keep honing in on is buying time. He has said that on numerous occasions when he's talked to Jared, when he's done other news conferences. He's buying time. He signed the players he signed last year to buy time. Where I have a hard time believing that is I don't think you sign the players that he signed in free agency last year to buy time. You don't sign Steven Stamkos to buy time. You sign Nick Foligno to buy time. You sign Patrick Maroon to buy time. You don't sign the players he signed to the contracts he signed them to buy time. I doubt that Barry Trotz, in his sales pitch to Steven Stamkos last year, said, Steven, you had an illustrious career in Tampa Bay, multi-time Stanley Cup champion, first ballot Hall of Famer. Come to Nashville and keep Joakim Kimmel's seat warm for him for a few years. That's not what he sold him on. I'm sure he sold him on the idea of winning. Yep. So that is where I hear Barry Trotz say that, and I vehemently disagree with that because I just don't think you sign the players he signed to buy time. So I am curious, Willie, about the types of players that he will pursue in free agency. So I don't think Predators fans have this thought that Mitch Marner, come on down. Like that's not happening.
No, I don't think they have the budget and the cap space to really do that unless they move a couple of contracts. I'm with you that the buy time was not in a rebuild kind of thing. They were, I think, everybody was a little surprised, including Barry Trotz, that they were better than people thought they were going to be 2 years ago. And then when he did that, when they did that, he still had the same vision of developing the draft picks, the draft capital, the prospects that were already in the works, And it does take a lot longer than we all want it to, right? These kids, it takes 4 or 5 years for these guys. And we want them to be ready right now. None of them are ready last year. Nobody blossomed last year. That was a big problem. So I think it's still, they're still in that mode of trying to thread the needle of having your cake and eating it too. Winning while you're buying time for the prospects to marinate. But number one, your veteran players have to play well. None of them did last year. And two, eventually some of the young guys have to pop. None of them did last year. So that's really where they're at. Will there be a bounce back and some of the 30-somethings have much better years than last year? I think it's plausible. And is it also plausible that after another year, a Zach LaRue, a Luke Evangelista, maybe you start seeing it from Svechkov, a couple other guys, the light goes on? I do remember Peter Laviolette's first year after they fired Barry Trotz, David Poile. The light suddenly went on for Ryan Ellis and Matthias Ekholm, and Roman Josi went to another level. And all of a sudden you're like, hey, man, these guys are pretty good. And the next thing you know, they're back in the playoffs with a good young nucleus that they could build around. That's the ideal scenario.
Chris Johnston of The Athletic wrote a story a few days ago with the headline, "Is NHL's old guys, end quotes, dominate Stanley Cup final. Will it affect how teams are constructed?" We talked about Brad Marchand yesterday, Sergei Bobrovsky, Corey Perry. They're all having big Stanley Cup finals, big playoffs. And they were talking about how could that impact how teams build their rosters? Will teams look to add more of those veteran players? And I thought that this was an interesting section of the story. Quote, one GM indicated that age doesn't tend to be a major factor in decisions except when it comes to a player he already has other reservations about. While a second GM said that he's always valued experience when trying to build a contending team and has only had that idea reinforced by seeing how the in-season additions paid off for Edmonton and Florida. A third team executive noted that it's important what kind of team is adding the graybeards, noting that the Nashville Predators, Chicago Blackhawks, and Detroit Red Wings are among the teams who have seen minimal return from adding veteran free agents in recent years to cores that weren't strong enough to maximize them.
And I think that's what Barry Trotz has been saying in the bye time. He wants the young players that are still too young to do this to jump up and be the core or start forming a new core faster than it's happening. And obviously, the whole season last year was in shambles because neither thing happened. Mm-hmm. The old guys didn't pull the weight, and the young guys didn't form a core of anything, right? That nobody had a good year. Nobody. You got to hope that it's better next year.
No, they didn't. And in an ideal situation, it's, you know, these older guys that we went out and got, coupled with the guys that are here, will help that transition for those younger guys, and they can see how these older guys play and practice, and they learn from that. Well, unfortunately for the Predators, it didn't happen the way they expected it. They expected for the season prior to bleed into this season with the older new guys, and it just worked out perfect. Well, it didn't. And now you're trying to find a way, do you build it this way, continue to try to go down this route at least for another season or two, or do we go the other way with sort of, you know, anticipating we're going to have to build from the ground up?
Well, the first major step is a week from Friday when the Predators are on the clock with the 5th overall pick in the NHL draft. That is a big part of the direction that the Predators ultimately take in the coming years. 615.
Here's a real quick point about that. What do you think the percentage chances? I got asked this the other day on George's show. The 5th pick, will he play for the Predators this year?
If I had to guess right now, and maybe this is worth doing some research for, maybe this is a good topic idea for the NHL draft. I'm curious how many number 5 overall picks, like how many games they play in the rookie season.
Right.
Like,
and remember, the caveat would be, remember, you can kind of experiment for 8 or 9 games.
Yes.
You can play, what, 9 games?
Yeah, the entry-level contract slide.
It doesn't count as a year of your contract. So you can give them a little tryout, be around, but then the key is, do you keep them for the whole year?
Right.
And I would say the number, it's probably less than 50-50, unless this kid whoever they take, just comes out of the gate flying. So this year, they're not going to fix their problems through this group that they're about to draft. Now, you got to hope that with all the picks they have, they come up with some really good picks. But I hate to say it, it's going to be 3, 4, 5 years before you really see what this group is going to give you. That's the dilemma of this league.
As my dad often says sarcastically, hot diggity. 615-737-1025. Jared Stillman will join us coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, the game. D. Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025-1063, the game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. Stillman and Company coming up next. And joining us before Stillman and Company is Jared Stillman. Jared, I'm glad that you're not big timing us today. Thank you for joining us.
I have a bone to pick with this program, most notably with Willie Donick, and then I'm going to defend Willie Donick, if that's okay.
Okay,
bring it on.
Actually,
you can only
really,
do it.
I have a bone to pick with this entire program, with the exception of Derek.
Okay.
So okay. Well,
and
I'm just
don't know
sit
how
back.
Usually
just,
Derek
yeah, how
is
did
the
I
one
get out
of
this?
Front
yeah.
of it for me. So this
exactly.
Is,
take it away, Jared.
Willie's sitting there talking about, you know, who was that report from The Athletic that you read about?
James Myrtle.
No. The one that was in The Athletic yesterday, Adam.
The one that was in The Athletic yesterday.
The other one.
Pierre LeBrun.
Who?
I'm not doing it.
Pierre LeBrun.
I'm not doing it.
And my bone to pick with Willie is, Willie's like, you know, Barry Trotz talks to Pierre LeBrun, and Barry Trotz talks to Elliot, and Barry Trotz talks to me too, Willie.
I said it.
I said it. I just want
he
you to
said
know
it.
That.
No, I didn't. We can run the tape back.
I said
verbatim, this is what I said. He talks to Pierre all the time. He talks to Elliot all the time. I said, he talks to Jared and says it firsthand. You don't have to. I said, you don't have to read Pierre. Did I not say that?
That's what
you
said.
You don't have
yes,
to read Pierre.
That,
all you
okay,
got to do is implying. All you got to do. Right. So, okay.
Now,
so,
okay. I am going to back
Pull
Willie.
Back that bone.
I am going to back Willie on this. So the Barry Trotz was buying time comments. Adam and Joe Rexrode think that it is absurd for Barry Trotz to say, hey, I had young guys cooking in the minors, whether it's Mullendyke, Wood, Kemmel, whomever. I got young guys cooking in the minors, but I'm not calling them up before they're ready. We were more competitive than we thought we were going to be in 2023, 2024. We thought maybe if we added Stamkos, Marchessault, and Brady Shea without giving up any draft capital, without giving up any prospects, that if we added those guys, we had a team that could give us a puncher's chance in the Stanley Cup playoff. That's what Barry Trotz has been saying the whole time. And I agree with it. Look at the Stanley Cup final. All these guys were drafted number one, number two, number three, number four in 2013 and 2014 and 2015. So it's going to take 10 years before the guys you draft today are in their prime. It is unfair, in my opinion, when Barry Trotz took over a club that was finally waving the white flag, which Adam had asked them to do.
That is true.
The year before, and they blew it up. And they went out and drafted Mullendyke, and they drafted Wood, and they drafted Surin, and they drafted Stiga, and they acquired Reed Schaefer, and they had Joakim Kimmel. And they had all these guys. And it is unfair to say, okay, well, Barry Trotz needs to win right now to save his job when we don't know if the guys that he drafted are any good or not. And so I think it is ridiculous, given the state of the minor leagues of the NHL, knowing what we knew of where the organization was when Trotz took over, knowing what the plan was in the minor leagues, and the fact that they have stuck to that, I think it is completely unfair to say you're not buying time by adding those guys. That's exactly what he was doing.
I agree.
He was trying to give the fans a competitive product to watch. It didn't work, but that wasn't the big story plan here.
I just want to be clear. I agree with Trotz's plan in theory. The one thing that I would have done differently is I wouldn't have signed three of, what, the top five available free agents on the market last year. If I was just looking to buy time, I would have signed mid-tier guys. Like, as I always say, Nick Foligno or Patrick Maroon. I just think that I agree with his plan.
That is a huge difference.
I know,
those
but
guys
I,
aren't
I agree with I agree with his plan in theory. I have a hard time thinking that you sign, as I said in the previous segment, Jared, I have a hard time imagining that Barry Trotz sold Steven Stamkos on coming to Nashville without talking about, hey, I think we can win with you, versus I need you to keep Joakim Kimmel's seat warm for
him. But is it possible there's a nuance? I think this is what Jared is saying, that when you're selling, if I'm selling to Jared as if he's Stamkos, I say, all right, Steven, we're pretty good right now. You can help us with that. And over the course of these 4 years, we feel pretty good about these guys in the minors starting to come up and help. Now, the problem is just one guy who makes a big jump, like take Wyatt Johnston, right? Just whoever, somebody like that, who, by the way, really struggled in the postseason for the Stars, but he has moved the needle for them. Just one guy who pops can make a difference, and the Predators haven't had any luck there.
Go ahead, Jared.
I was just going to say to that, like, you know, Adam, you're like, well, you should have signed Pat Maroon if you were trying to buy time. Again, he was trying to compete at the NHL level. But other than Bill Haslam and Herb Fritch's money, they didn't give up anything.
Which I laud them for.
Except for cap space, right?
Yes.
That is the weight.
I would have
feel.
A much harder time with it if they had traded for Steven Stamkos, for example. No, the fact that all they had to do was give up money, totally fine with it. It's just a little thing that I disagree with Trotz on. I think the plan is sound in theory. I would have just gone about it a little bit differently. But I actually have a minor bone to pick with you, Jared Stellman.
Oh,
here we go. Oh, is this going to be about my Soros trade?
Yes. So, Jared, if you missed it yesterday, Jared was talking about his trade proposal for the Predators and the Edmonton Oilers. He would trade UC Soros and a second-round pick to the Edmonton Oilers for Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Stuart Skinner.
And I'd be willing to give up another second, too, in order to make the deal happen.
What? So,
oh my God!
Wow.
So I was listening to it behind because I was at the pediatrician with my son who's not feeling well, and I caught up on it and I texted Jared using some colorful language. Ryan Nugent Hopkins says no to that trade. Why the hell would he do that? And Jared's response was no state income tax. My response was, would Ryan Nugent Hopkins rather compete for the Stanley Cup on an annual basis or make a little bit more money playing for a crappy team, which the Predators are right now?
But why would the Predators want Ryan Nugent-Hopkins? If he were 23 or 24, then I think that
Jared,
would
why
be
don't you
discussion.
Quickly explain give your me the thought argument process for Nugent-Hopkins?
You have to make the salaries work out, you know, in terms of, because Edmonton is up against it, and so you have to make the salaries work out. Nugent-Hopkins is like 5.2. Stuart Skinner is like 2.6. But if you want to make the salaries work out with some other people that don't have no moves, I'm fine with that. My thing is I believe that Edmonton's going to lose tonight, and I believe that Edmonton's going to look back at this series, and they're going to ultimately blame Stuart Skinner. And they're going to say, oh, we just don't have a goalie. And I'm thinking, I've got a goalie for you. And that being UC Soros.
But you also say, you were adamant about saying this all the time about Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene. Other teams don't want your bad players. And you think UC Soros is a bad player relative to the money that he's making.
I believe UC Soros has the reputation around the league. The reputation on Johansson and Duchene had soured. I think Soros has a reputation. I mean, for crying out loud, he just got named to the Olympic team.
Well, look.
I think Soros has a reputation that Edmonton can sell this, and most importantly to McDavid, who is a UFA after next year, of, hey, we're going to fix the goaltending problem, and we're going to do it with UC Soros, who is cost-controlled at 7.74. Willie talks about the cap going up all the time.
Yeah, that's so good. It's not a bad contract.
And so we're going to sell that to Connor McDavid and to Leon Draisaitl, and we're going to say, get Zach Hyman back, and now we've got a goalie.
But why would you do that to get Ryan Nugent-Hopkins? He's going to be 30. He's 32.
I don't care about Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Well, that's the thing. I care about getting rid of UC Soros.
See, that's
but here's
that's
the thing
problem.
About...
Because yeah, I'll
make a statement here.
Go ahead, Willie.
If the Oilers had UC Soros playing goal and not Stuart Skinner, they'd won three cups by now.
Oh, my God! Oh, my God! No, he did not!
Okay, hold on.
I'm saying this year being one, last year being one.
Oh, goodness.
And then I think the year before, they would have won.
Congratulations, Willie. You just filled an hour of Jared Jones. Exactly. But this is the point
that's
I want to make, Jared.
That's the difference between Skinner and Soros.
Adam, I can't get over Willie's point. Okay. I don't have time for your point. We got to go around the room here.
Hold on, no.
Do you agree with Willie Donick that if UC Soros was there, goalie, they would have won three cups.
They would be going for their. I don't know the answer.
It's
a little exaggeration. They would have won at least one, and I think had another chance for one.
Yes or no, Adam?
In this game tonight.
I don't. I don't know.
Do you think UC Soros is way better than Stuart Skinner?
Do you think UC Soros is better than Stuart Skinner?
Yes, I think UC Soros
Stuart
is Skinner better than
and
Stuart
Chet Skinner. Pick, Calvin Pickard are below average NHL goalies. They are an anvil on an
I don't
otherwise
know if I can
great
say they would
have
won
You need to have
three.
That conversation, Willie, with your partner, Chris Mason, because last year when I said Stuart Skinner sucked, he was like, he must be doing something right if he's in the cup final.
But the point about the no state income tax thing is, yes, the Panthers and the Predators have that in common.
You two are too nice to Willie, man. I mean, you guys stayed out of that.
The difference
hey,
between...
Look, if I said that, I'm you not guys the one, have gone nuts.
I'm not the one that said, let's bring back Ryan Nugent Hopkins and a couple of bags of pucks.
Give me a bag of pucks. I don't care.
When the Panthers were one of the worst teams in the NHL for a nearly 20-year stretch, players weren't clamoring to play in Florida just because of the no state income tax. You have to be good for that to be a true advantage. The Predators don't have that right now because they're not good.
I just can't pay attention to anything after what Willie said. And the fact that you two won't either say yay or nay tells me all I need to know
look,
about
I,
you.
I will not go listen, as far as Willie look, did just
look,
there.
I admit, I'm saying that's hyperbole. Jared is rubbing off on me to say hyperbole, saying three cups.
Blame me!
They would have won at least one.
They would have won one, at out, least of, one. Out of... You know, the three that they've been in. Yes.
Yeah, I can't
UC
say
Soros,
three.
Yes.
I can't
they
say
They would have
three.
Won at least once.
But I would have more confidence in UC Soros than Stuart Skinner and Calvin Pickard. And Stuart Skinner, by the way, in net for the Edmonton Oilers, easy for me to say, tonight as they try to stay alive in the Stanley Cup Final. But Jared and Stillman and company, I'm all out of sorts here. Coming up next.
Be love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, wonderful Tuesday. Stay dry. Peace.